This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is another edition of Layla Weighs In, coming to you every Friday, or at least most Fridays of the month. And I want to thank you for emailing me your questions. And for those of you who would like to email me questions or more questions, please email to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. You can also be specific and say Layla's podcast, question for Layla's podcast. Besides the other questions that you send to Dr. Hoffman's podcast, along with the podcasts that Dr. Hoffman and I do together on Wednesdays, that's Q&A with Layla. So thank you for all of your questions. Now, I've got a note here from Kristen. Kristen is a fellow RD, and she writes, she insists that I read this on the podcast, so here I go. She writes, "Your podcasts are keeping me on my toes with so much information to take in all the time. They're so timely and applicable to all my patients. I know how much work you do to put these out. So thank you, thank you, thank you from all the integrative nutritionists out there who are listening. Thanks, Kristen, for the kind words. And here are some questions." Okay, so the question is about intermittent fasting. If you don't know about intermittent fasting, I'm going to get into you here. I'm going to give you a little background and why it could be a good strategy for those who are trying to normalize their biochemistries as well as losing weight. Kristen is asking, "Can you elaborate, please, a bit more as to why intermittent fasting is different than cutting calories? It comes across as confusing to so many as they think that it's on the fasting days that they're actually cutting calories. And also, how do we incorporate exercise into the fasting regime? I have many patients who feel it's easier to fast in the morning after a workout. However, isn't it counterproductive due to the fact that they're not fueling their muscles post-workout?" That's a really great point, as a matter of fact. So I think for those who are doing fasting after a workout, it depends on the type of exercise they're doing. If they're out to build muscle or maintain a lot of lean mass, it may be counterproductive to continue fasting after a morning workout. Those people may require some bodybuilding branched chain amino acids that you're going to get in good protein sources, whether it's meat, whether it's your omelet in the morning, whether it's whey protein or something like that. Now, intermittent fasting, this has been the latest of probably what you've been reading, at least over the last year or so, of another strategy to help normalize weight as well as normalize biochemistries. There's actually a wonderful book, and I know Dr. Hoffman has interviewed him on podcasts, Dr. Jason Fung, and it's a book called The Obesity Code, Unlocking the Secrets of Weight Loss. The point of intermittent fasting, and let me define it first. Intermittent fasting is when you're fasting, not necessarily for a particular day, although you could, but the intermittent fasting is generally done 2 out of the 7 days a week, 2 consecutive days for most people. And what happens is you're fasting for a total of 16 hours. And then you're eating your meals in the total of the next 8 hours. For example, if you're eating breakfast at 6 a.m. like I am, if you're eating breakfast at 6 a.m. and then you have your lunch and your dinner, what you do is, after having your dinner, say at 6 or 7 p.m., is to then go to bed, no midnight snack. So, of course, you know, we're fasting every night while we sleep. But then when we get up the next morning, don't have breakfast. Don't have breakfast until a whole 16 hours has gone by since your last meal. And that means your dinner the night before. So if you're having breakfast at 6 a.m. most mornings, you're not going to have breakfast until about 10 or sometime after 10 a.m. What does this intermittent fasting do for the body? It's an opportunity for some really good, wonderful, glorious hormones to kick in. First of all, it helps to reduce our insulin if we have too much surging insulin. Number two, by decreasing the amount of insulin, it helps to raise glucagon, which is a fat-burning hormone. After it's helped to break down our glycogen and use it all up as blood sugar, glucagon then becomes a terrific fat-burning hormone. And the longer we fast, the longer we stay in fat-burning. Another glorious hormone that comes out to play when we're doing this is human growth hormone. And human growth hormone occurs naturally when we're eating right, we exercise well, we're not taking in too many calories, we sleep very well every night, all of that, human growth hormone. Now, the point of intermittent fasting, it's an advantage for those with diabetes. It helps to normalize their insulin levels. It can help to bring down blood sugar levels. Think of it another way. The intermittent fast, how many of you, and I'm talking to those with type 2 diabetes, how many of you, in preparation to go get your blood tests for your doctor visit, go on a fast, not just the day before, but you actually decide you're going to eat right for the 2 days prior to your blood test? Well, that's your attempt to straighten out your biochemistries and get really good marks on your blood tests, right? Well, that's a little bit of cheating. But intermittent fasting is working for you in the same way. So for those who choose intermittent fasting, it's typically done 2 days out of the 7 days a week. Some people do it most days of the week. Others have trouble doing it that often. And one of the biggest complaints of doing any intermittent fasting is that by the time they reach their first meal, by the time they sit to eat their first meal 16 hours later, they are absolutely starving. But Dr. Fung assures us that once you adapt to doing intermittent fasting, that your body does adjust, that you can get used to it. And it's often helpful. But we don't completely have to be fasting. We're going to take in fluids and beverages. And you could take in, for instance, you could drink a great big mug of bone broth. You can have a cup of coffee or tea, whether it's green tea, which is known to help metabolism, or even black tea. You want to stay away from things such as artificial sweeteners in your beverages. Other people continue of being hungry. Your body will adapt. Now, Kristen is asking specifically, well, what is the difference? People who are doing the intermittent fasting, they think they're actually eating less calories. No. You're still eating the same three meals that you were. You're simply having your breakfast a little later than usual. Well, maybe 3 to 4 whole hours later than usual. But you're still going to have your lunch and your dinner. So consider this. In the 16-hour fast program where you have the other 8 hours to eat, you're fasting for 16 hours. Say you're going to have breakfast then at the 16-hour mark, which is 10 a.m. instead of 6 a.m. You're still going to have a lunch probably around 2, right? And then you're going to have a dinner between 6 and 7. So over the next 8 or 9 hours, you're still eating your regular meals. You're not eating less calories. You're not eating fewer meals. So that's actually how that works. A beautiful side effect, once your body has adapted to intermittent fasting, is you're not that hungry anymore. Because as you know, when we go on a bit of a prolonged fast, hunger actually shuts down. When we're burning primarily fat for energy, as anybody who does a very low-carb diet or a ketogenic diet correctly will attest to, that they no longer feel hungry. And this is one of the great tricks, and it's one of the great gifts of a ketogenic type of diet, is that that false hunger goes away. We know that so much of our hunger can be false when we're eating too many carbohydrates because it simply begets more craving for carbohydrates. So the benefits of intermittent fasting, it helps to normalize insulin levels, it helps to increase glucagon, human growth hormone, and doing it 2 days a week, two consecutive days, is often helpful. I don't advise any patients to fast for longer than that. And for those with diabetes who are on medication, have to be careful because they have to be careful of hypoglycemia. That can be problematic. So for those on medication, you want to be careful. For those taking high blood pressure medications, you also want to be careful because when we fast, even intermittently this way, it does have a dehydrating effect. You're going to shed excess water, and that may cause you to get a little bit dizzy. You may need to seek advice from your doctor about reevaluating your dose, whether it's your diabetes medications or your high blood pressure medications. You want to be supervised if you're on any medication for doing any type of fasting, even intermittent fasting. Okay? Most people, again, complain of hunger. Some people complain of dizziness. For those who are dizzy and they're not on medication, it could simply be that you're dehydrated. Taking a nice bowl of consommé, of some clear soup or broth, is often helpful for dehydration. Taking in more water, mineral water, some teas, some decaf teas, coffees, these are often helpful as well. And by the way, Kristen, I was just thinking, and I've talked to Dr. Hoffman about this on podcast as well, about intermittent fasting when we've discussed it. Another way to do it, because I'm a big breakfast person, breakfast literally turns the engine, turns the key in the car that is my engine and gets me going. It warms me up. I actually will exercise after eating breakfast, sometime after eating breakfast. That's just me. The other way to do intermittent fasting is to, for example, have your last meal be, oh, say lunch on a given day. Say you're having lunch at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That could be your last meal of the day, and then you go on a fast. You're going to skip dinner, and then you could have breakfast as usual, say 6 a.m. If you've had lunch at 2 p.m. the previous day, 16 hours later is 6 a.m. the next morning, and you can get up and have breakfast. That's a different way to do intermittent fasting. It's actually something that I've done. And actually, you know, something a little bit by accident, because sometimes you'll go out, say on a Saturday or a Sunday for a brunch, that meal could be particularly heavy where you're not even hungry for dinner, kind of makes it easy to do that way. And by the way, when you're fasting and you've not eaten even, you know, 5, 6, or 7 hours before bedtime, you will find that you sleep quite a bit more deeply than you normally do because now we're not digesting in the, you know, throughout the night, which is really what we're not supposed to do. You don't ever want to go to bed on a full stomach anyway. So another way to do intermittent fasting is to stop eating after lunch and skip dinner, go to sleep, wake up the next morning, have your breakfast. And again, you're eating between the hours of 6 a.m., 2 p.m., maybe 3 p.m. It's still an 8-hour shift where you can have a breakfast, something mid-morning if you wanted to, and a later lunch, or we could also call that a very early dinner if you're doing that, say, on a weekend. Again, the point is that you're not taking in less calories on fasting days, and you're not fasting the entire day. You're basically pushing back your first meal, you know, 16 hours as opposed to the usual 8 to 12. That's what we're doing there. So, and it also, for those people who like to work out in the morning, if you have your last meal be lunch the previous day, and you're fasting for not having dinner and sleeping all night and get up in the morning and do your workout, go do your workout and then come back and eat breakfast. That's terrific. That's perfectly fine. That's actually what would be recommended. And that will also help with the repair process. You know, after exercise, especially vigorous exercise, strength training, bodybuilding, those types of exercise, it's important. We have really a 45-minute or a 60-minute window after that type of exercise to fuel our bodies and to help with the repair process of the little teeny micro tears that are happening in our muscles as we do weight training, as we're doing strength training. All that is helping to repair those little micro tears and strengthening our muscles further, making our muscles bigger, if you will, if that's the intended objective. So that would be ideal to do intermittent fasting this way. If you do work out in the morning, that you do the fasting, you know, starting from the previous day. That's often helpful. And, you know, for those who have never done it before, the sleep is really, really good when you go to bed really on an empty stomach, because at that point, so many hours after lunch and you've skipped dinner, you really should no longer be hungry if your biochemistry is right. You really should no longer be hungry. And even traditional Chinese medicine tells us that our stomachs should be empty a full 5 hours before we go to bed. So what does that mean? If bedtime is 10 p.m., dinner should be no later than, 4:30, 5 o'clock? That doesn't work with a lot of our work schedules, obviously. So it would be ideal if our bellies were empty a full 5 hours before bedtime. That would be great. And certainly, it would be great for anybody experiencing GERD. So anyway, as far as intermittent fasting, that's been my favorite way to do it when I've done it is, you know, stop after lunch. And it could be a particularly big lunch if all you've had that day is breakfast. So you're not taking in less calories at all. It's really about taking the same amount of calories. So other helpful hints, actually, from Dr. Fung's book, The Obesity Code. You know, for people who complain that my stomach is always growling when I'm fasting, what can I do about it? He recommends trying, you know, drinking some mineral water. I get headaches when I fast. What can I do? Headaches can be the cause of A, low blood sugar. It can also be caused by dehydration. And really, the first order of business is to make sure you're not dehydrated, that you're drinking fluids, especially non-caloric fluids, but they could also be in the form of a nice salty broth to make sure you're not becoming dehydrated. And that can also take care of the headache too if you're experiencing some low blood sugar. I'm not a fan, even though it's been recommended that you could drink some coffee, some tea. I'm talking about caffeinated beverages. Some people don't do well taking caffeine on an empty stomach. It can cause a little anxiety. It might stress their adrenals too much. Others are helped by it. They find that it's giving them more energy. And some people will swear that taking, you know, half a cup of coffee or a cup of green tea and then going off to the gym gives them the energy they need to go and do their workout. That's perfectly fine. Now, another thing, I think one of the biggest drawbacks is for those when you're first starting is feeling so hungry that first meal becomes a binge. And really you want to avoid that. You want to eat slowly. You want to eat mindfully. You want to make sure you're taking in enough fluids because so much of our hunger could be thirst. And it would be good to start to differentiate those two feelings, hunger and thirst. Some people get heartburn. Dr. Fung suggests avoid taking large meals because you might find that you have a tendency to overeat once you finish a fast, but try to eat normally. Breaking a fast is best done slowly, okay? So, staying busy, keeping your mind off your hunger is recommended. Drinking some water. Drink a cup of water every couple of hours. You know, make sure you're getting at least your 8 cups of water a day. That's often helpful. And often, 2 days, two consecutive days out of the week of intermittent fasting, the 16 hours of fasting and then eating your meals within the next 8 to 9 hours, generally works for most people. And again, reminder, for those who are on medication, please check in with your doctors. Your medications can cause you to get lightheaded, dizzy, all of those things. You want to make sure that your medications are adjusted accordingly, and you definitely want to be supervised by a practitioner who knows what they're doing when it comes to intermittent fasting. I thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.